gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and also I have here Paris. Paris, up.
Kind of loud. Is this how you are when yeah. we're doing a podcast?
You gotta be hype. You're gonna be hype.
Well, you guys can't see it, but his eyes got really big, and he was just got excited. Focused with the mic. He's like,
"You know why,
Danny?
You know why I get excited every time I record? I'm excited. I love recording.
See, look
man.
At me. I'm relaxed. You know, I'm just holding the mic.
Nah, I like to be hype. I want the listeners
to be excited.
That's why
you're so angry all the time.
No. First of all, you're the angry person, not me, man. So yeah, we're in Burbank, California. Your favorite city, Burbank.
Yeah, it's Party Central.
Party Central over here. Man, I know there was a couple of listeners that hit us up that wants to hang out with us and stuff. They stay around here in the Burbank area. It's going to be hard, man. Our schedule is like we're in and out, basically. Maybe in the future, next time.
Yeah, well, and not to mention that LA traffic absolutely sucks. So it took us 45 minutes at 8:30 p.m. to get from Marina Del Rey to Burbank, which is insane.
Insane. But, man, we don't have Pete to help us out with this, but we're going to have a fan mail this week for this episode.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Why?
You know, I listened to the episode, last episode, and I wasn't on it, and I don't like Pete's attitude.
Pete's attitude? I'm going to tell him that. And he also couldn't say fan mail. Like, he was coughing, and he tried to mute the mic, and he couldn't. It was, like, too late.
You want me to try?
You should do it. We'll see. Fuck. Like how like Patrick does Miss Cleo. Yeah. Hopefully you could do that right. All right. Sorry. But let me do the introduction first.
Okay.
Now head over to GamertagRadio.com or Play That It to listen to our past episodes and make sure to share with your friends. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. And also email us fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. And yep, we're going to start right now. It's all about fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
You know what? That was pretty good. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I'm impressed. Probably P is going to be hating on.
I'm sure.
On your.
I'm sure he'll.
Mail.
I'm sure he'll put in the chat that the Lakers lost to the Sixers. I already saw it, so it doesn't.
Was it painful to watch?
Oh my god! It's rock bottom. Dude. It's rock freaking bottom. Jeez.
All right. So we have a couple voicemails, a couple emails. Let me look for the voicemails very quick. Which one you want, man? Baltimore, New Orleans, Charlotte?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Let's go to New Orleans. This is let's play this right now.
Hey, Gamertag Radio. This is John from Louisiana, or lately I've been from the wasteland of Boston. Anyways, two questions for you guys. Coming out of episode 514, Godfrey, you said something about we should support some more indie titles more, and I totally agree. And I know a lot of AAA titles have been coming out lately, but I like to get into some indie games. Do you have any suggestions as to what I should look at getting? I'm on Xbox One and PC. We'll be getting PlayStation 4 in early 2016. And my next question is, with all these amazing games coming out lately, how do you keep up with them all? Lately, I've been playing Halo 5, got Fallout 4 a few days ago. And last night, you got Star Wars Battlefront. Do you stick to one game until you're burnt out, or do you stick to a certain amount of days and switch games? Appreciate what you guys do. Take care.
Well, that's a great question, man. Thanks for the call. I think I should start with the whole indie stuff, man, because I've been playing a lot of indie games lately through the Steam machine.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are available PlayStation 4 and also Xbox One. But the one that I really, really enjoy so far is top notch. It's early access type game. It's called Layers of Fear. I downloaded that game on the Halloween night because I was in the mood of playing just horror games, and it was pretty good, man. For like an early access game, dude, I spent all night playing that game. Really, really good. It's very, very scary. It reminds me a lot like PT, that demo that came out for PlayStation 4. I highly recommend that. Also, there's another one too. Isn't Rocket League? Rocket League, that's a considered indie game, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That one is available PC and also PlayStation 4.
Speaking of, I just saw the press release on that. 8 million unique people have played that game.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah, very impressive. Definitely. But see, that's the power of indie games, man. You know, it's not about the AAA titles. You know, there's a lot of great games out there from companies that have been creating, you know, for PlayStation and Xbox and even Wii and PC. So, yeah, support them, man. They're the ones taking those risks of creating games that is not available out there, you know? So, what about you? You have any indie games you recommend? That's my favorite.
I mean, I kind of can just go back through my Rogues gallery, which, speaking of Rogue, one I would say right off the top is check out Rogue Legacy, since he said he had it on the PC. I can't remember if it's on the Xbox One yet or not. I know mm-hmm. it's on the PlayStation 4, but check out Rogue Legacy. That's a great game. Mm-hmm. Check out the Talos Principle.
Oh, that's a great... By the way, thank you for recommending that game.
Dude, it's Portal 3.
Yeah, basically.
It's what it is. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, City Skylines is another great one.
Yes.
I think I don't know if I just said it or not, but Kentucky Route Zero is a great episodic game.
I was playing this one too during my flight. This War of Mine is a strategy game. Basically, it's a group of people that are basically trying to survive, and they're in different locations and stuff. And at night, you will go out there to find food and materials so you could bring that back to your mm-hmm. to your friends, and you guys are got to work together and have like meals, and you got to build your bed because some people are going to be like hurt and stuff. So I like it. It's very entertaining. And I play that through Steam. And also Hotline Miami. I've been playing that too.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Hotline Miami.
Part one and part two.
Check out The Escapist.
Escapist. Okay.
Also check out, God, I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. Papers Please. Papers, is another Please. Great one. Something you can pick up super cheap on Steam.
Also Among the Sleep.
Okay.
Have you heard of them? The one the baby, first person baby, mm-mm. and you with a teddy bear. You're trying to look for your mom, but you go to this closet, and after you get to inside the closet, it turns into this horror type game. But it's all the time you're a baby. Basically, you're either crawling or you're walking slowly.
Yeah,
it's really really good. It started as a Kickstarter campaign,
right?
And they released it for the PC. On Steam.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Highly recommend it. Love it.
There was one more. I'm forgetting. I know there's the Stanley Parable, and then, there's one more game I wanted to recommend, and mm-hmm. I'll think of it later. But
there's a lot of games.
Like you said, the fact that he's just on the PC, go to Steam. You'll find a lot, especially with winter sale about to come up and stuff. You're going to find a lot of great deals on these indie. Oh, Don't Starve.
Oh, yeah. I've been curious about that game, and I'm probably going to be downloading it soon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely a lot of stuff on the indie scene to check out, and you can get at a reasonable price, too. And, definitely. Hey, you're supporting indie developers, so that's always a good thing.
Definitely. Now, the second question. We play a lot of games, especially for review purposes and stuff. And sometimes we like to play our games for entertainment purposes, just for us, you know?
Yeah.
But how we balance that out? Well, for me, let's say if I'm focusing on just one game, like Halo 5, for instance, I'll go all the way until I finish the game, play a lot of the multiplayer, and then I could talk about it. Now, if it's a game like Fallout, I take my time with those type of games like that and The Witcher. Like, I can't spend hours and days just playing that. I need those breaks, you know. Once you come back, you're refreshed, you're ready to, you know, play the game all over again, you know. So that's how I play it, you know. What about you like to change it up here and there, or you just focus on one thing?
I mean, I'm similar, because it's funny, at dinner tonight we were kind of talking about, like, with Destiny, for example, I'm with a game like that, I just go all in for about a couple months at a time. And then I just hit the brakes, and I get away from it completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to play other games, just, you know, to kind of cleanse the palate and play other type of things. But the interesting thing right now is I'm kind of all in on The Witcher 3, but I'm not rushing through it. I'm
taking your time.
I'm taking my time. I'm playing Gwent. I'm exploring. I'm just mm-hmm. doing all these kind of things. But it's really the only game that I'm playing right now. But then there'll be some other things, I'm sure, like I'll get back into Fallout 4 again here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. There's some other games going to be coming out here early 2016. So there's still going to be a ton of stuff that I want to play. But I'm never, unless it's a review, I'm never the type to, like, I need to hurry up and get through it. Mm-hmm. And even with a review, I don't try to just rush it. But I do have a sense of urgency when I'm playing it, you know.
Okay. Let's go with the next question from Charlotte.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte. Question for you. I know that PlayStation VR is probably going to drop next year, and I know a couple of you have had the opportunity to get your hands on it at, you know, these expos and whatnot. But my question is, I know it's nothing that you really played right now that's like a peripheral seller, you know, for you at the moment, but are there any titles or like IPs that you would like to see come to the VR that would be a peripheral seller for you, or is there any game idea or genre that you would like to see come over to the PlayStation VR that could really get you actually hyped about it? I mean, I know it's, from what I hear, it's awesome technology and whatnot, but you know, seems a little gimmicky. Like from what everybody's talking about, I don't see how it can create longevity as of yet. But do you guys have any ideas what can actually push this device forward? Thank you. Have a great day.
I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
I've still have yet to do any of the VR stuff, so I really don't know how it works because I haven't done it.
I haven't done
Oculus, haven't done PlayStation.
I think Patrick is the only one that's played VR games so far out of the whole crew, but he's not here. But yeah,
my take on it is simple. Until I do it, I'm not a believer. I kind of like what he just said. I kind of feel like it's gimmicky. I understand that there's been plenty of people out there who've experienced it and they seem very sold on it and they think it's going to be the future. And obviously Sony is very convinced on it. We're going with PlayStation VR and we're seeing what Oculus is doing. And obviously Facebook bought them, so they believe in it too. The game, the platform that would convince me would be an RPG similar to something like Skyrim or Witcher or Fallout or something like that, to where I'm just and I understand these early games would, no way would they come close to this. I'm talking maybe 10 years down the road. You just put me into one of those worlds and I'm just in there and I'm interacting with the environment and doing all that. When VR gets to that point, then I'm convinced. Right now, I mean, we'll see. But again, I haven't used it, so I don't really know. So I'm just speculating.
I'm a little iffy about that, though, about the whole RPG type games like Skyrim or Fallout for VR, because imagine you having that on for hours for an RPG game. I think to me it won't work. I think it should get something like a smaller scale that will work for the VR instead of putting like a game like Fallout is way too big, and that's a very long game.
Well, that's why I said 10 years from now. I obviously, in the early days, you're not going to see anything close to that. And obviously, I forgot talking about Valve's VR solution as well. But I mean, I don't know. And obviously, the kind of stuff I'm talking about, when you really think about it, I'm talking about the Matrix. that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just want to have something that I put the helmet on. I'm in this 3D virtual world and I'm able to interact with it and it feels semi-believable. If it ever gets to that point, then I'll be a believer. But again, maybe if I put on the PlayStation VR right now, maybe I believe. I don't know. I have to try it. So hopefully I'll get a chance here soon.
Well, now they're going to have a PlayStation experience. I mean, by the time you guys listen to this, it's already done, so they're probably going to be showing some games for VR. Sure. And also they're going to have a panel and everything. And here's the thing, I would like to see more of maybe horror games, adventure games, those type of genre. Maybe that will work for me, but don't put like an Uncharted into this type of like for the VR. I think like things like that, to me, it won't work. I would like to see original content.
But isn't that the end game, though? That's the whole point that we eventually would want, to get to a place where you are Nathan Drake. You're in that world and you're the one that's doing all the crazy.
You know why I won't like that? Because if it didn't work for like, let's say, Kinect, they tried with certain games and it...
Well, you like, said the key word, Kinect.
Kinect, yeah. But here's the thing. Some games work, like a Child of Eden. Like, that was like a perfect game for Kinect. Dance Central, perfect game for Kinect. Yeah. It wasn't, let me add Halo into Kinect. You know, things like that, in my opinion, won't work. But if they put original content to the VR, PlayStation VR, I think that will be perfect and that will help push the peripheral.
Well, I just saw an article today that Microsoft has Halo 5 working in Halo in the HoloLens using an Xbox One. So, I mean, there's an example. Microsoft, that's their flagship game. First-person shooter, Halo 5.
I think it was cool what we got to see at E3.
Yeah, actually, we should backtrack.
Yeah.
So I did get to do HoloLens, you know, with that whole thing at E3. I got to do that, and I thought the technology was impressive. It just obviously wasn't ready for prime time because the vision was so narrow.
No,
that was
really
my main complaint about it. But when you were seeing things and interacting with them, I mean, it was pretty cool technology.
And I think we talked about this during E3. We said that reminds us of, like, for entertainment purposes. It's not like, let me buy it to play Mass Effect or something like that, you
exactly.
know? But imagine you having that on and you're also playing the game on your big screen TV, let's say Mass Effect, if it ever comes out, that would be perfect. Maybe there will be things there, the lens, that's not available on the TV screen.
Right.
Like little things like that, I think will be something cool.
Enhancing
the game.
Yeah.
But making, like, I don't know, like I said before, Uncharted into the VR, like, I don't know. That to me won't work, in my opinion, but yeah.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamer Tag Radio? Patrick here. I'll take a quick sec to tell you about this sweet new clothing company I recently discovered called TipsyElves.com. Now, Tipsy Elves specializes in selling some really cool Christmas sweaters for the holidays, but I gotta say this, if you're a hardcore gamer like me and you don't own a dedicated onesie for your late night gaming marathons, you, sir or madam, are missing out. You gotta check out Tipsy Elves' line of jumpsuits. They have them for men, they have them for women, they come in a myriad of colors and styles, but the point is this, I managed to grab one of these bad boys just when Fallout 4 was coming out, so for the past 3 weeks, I have been cruising the wasteland in style, taking out Deathclaws, taking out super mutants, and basically saving the free world, all while being super comfortable, incredibly warm, and looking pretty snazzy too, if I must say so myself. So if you're in the market for a gift for that special someone, or you just kind of want something cool for yourself, go check out TipsyElves.com. Anything you pick up in the store, when you go to the checkout center, enter the code GTR, and you get 20% off your entire order, and that applies to everything in the store right now. So go ahead, check it out. You might just find exactly what you're looking for the holiday season.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
We have another voicemail. We have three voicemails back to back. Let's play it. This one's so long. Minute, 45 minutes, 45 seconds. All right.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you guys doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just wanted to say, man, still loving the show. Haven't called in a while, but you guys continue doing your thing. It's always a great pleasure to listen to you guys. And giving me a double dose of that game and medicine that I so need on a regular basis. But I do have a question for you guys, and it is pertaining to the end of the year. It is the end of the year, and, you know, that's when people's game of the year awards kind of come up. So I'm not really worried about the VGAs too much. That seems a little staged to me. But what I'm curious to know is, what would you guys possibly consider to be your game of the year contenders? That's the question I wanted to ask you guys. Hopefully I'm not asking too early. I'm not asking for your game of the year, just some contenders. Once again, thank you guys so much for the hard work. Keep up the great fight. And on a side note, Patrick, I love you, brother. I do. I love your enthusiasm. I love everything that you do. But sometimes it seems like you just overshadow everybody else by talking so much. No offense on that, Patrick. It's just, it seems like the other hosts don't get a chance to really talk as much. Definitely not coming down on you, just a bit of a thought. But you guys take care. Love the show. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
So let me answer that part. About the, we talked about Patrick, he talks so much. And here's the thing, I think we all been through that situation. I think that there's a time that I was cutting people off a lot because I wanted to take over and talk. or maybe because at that moment I was way too hype, or Paris. I think you've been in the past, also been through that. You felt like you probably was talking so much and we didn't have a chance to talk. Right?
Of course not. No.
It happens.
I mean, it happens.
And the thing is, and it all depends at the moment. Like Patrick, I think he's just been really, really hype and excited the holidays. You know, I let him talk, man. Look, I don't like cutting people when they're talking. Like if I feel that Paris is saying something that is really good at the moment, yo, let him talk and continue and go with the vibe, you know? That's how I feel about the whole thing. But now the contender, Game of the Year contenders, I really don't want to say much because I want to keep it as a surprise. But I know I've been saying about The Witcher 3 as a Game of the Year contender. I think that's a big one, you know? But I have other ones I'm going to surprise a lot of people. And I've been really thinking about all the games I've been playing throughout the whole year. Not only the holidays, but 2015 in general.
I can give you my not contender of the year.
Which one?
No, kind of like you're saying, Danny. I mean, anyone that follows me on social media kind of already knows what game I think should be Game of the Year. But I mean, we'll talk about it later, mm-hmm. You know, in the next couple weeks, contenders. But I would simply say probably the usual suspects with a couple surprises mixed in there.
Okay. All right, so this is from Sanjay, all the way from London. Hey, Gamertag Radio, great show. After 13 years out of the video game scene, GameCube being my last console, I got my PlayStation 4 this year and loving it. Pretty cool. Wow, that's a pretty big jump from GameCube to PlayStation 4. Yeah. Wow, you missed out a lot, man. All right, so he says, my question is this. Too many games are released buggy. I want to know whether you guys feel pre-order culture is harming the gaming industry. What is the big deal with pre-order anyway? Games, digital or physical, are available day one, and so are the games actually harming quality by making pre-order an easy get-out for game developers. Would it be interesting to get your thoughts on this? When was the last time you pre-ordered a game? Batman. Was it Batman? Oh, frick. Batman for the PC.
Well, that was a situation where I bought a digital copy of Batman from unsavory. I bought it from cdkeys.com because it was at a discounted price.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me. I figure, hey, it's Batman Arkham Knight. What could go wrong? It's cheaper. It's a game I want anyway. So I bought it, and then we found out what happened with Arkham Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I got left holding the bag on that one. But that was just a risk I took. Yeah, in today's age, I mean, pre-orders are used more or less just for publishers to kind of get a head count mm-hmm. on what they can expect sales-wise so that they can report it to investors and, you know, stock prices, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as a consumer, should you pre-order a game in this age? Yeah. Not really. No, there's no need unless you want to get, if GameStop or Amazon or whoever's doing some kind of incentive, hey, if you pre-order it, you're going to get this weapon for free, or you're going to get this map, or you're going to get this early access to this, or you're going to get this beta that's coming for another game.
Or get the, like, Fallout. I think they gave away Fallout 3 for free if you pre-order the digital version, I think it is.
Right. That's like, what I mean. Like this. But that's what I mean. That's the only reason to pre-order in this day and age is if you're looking for one of the retail incentives that comes with it. If you're mm-hmm. just looking for the pure game, you might as well wait until it comes out. Or there's also, again, with digital, buying the game early so that you can preload it.
Yes.
That would be the other scenario.
And then at midnight, 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is unlocked, yeah, and you could just play right there instead of going to the store, come back, and then installed. I like the whole pre-order digital stuff, man.
Well, as we're finding out, you know, from our listeners, a lot of people still love disc. So some people are still liking to pick up a disc and go that route, which is fine. But should you have to pre-order?
Wait. You could wait.
Yeah.
You could wait. You know,
honestly, in this day and age, and I think you touched on a little bit in the email mm-hmm. with so many bugs and issues with these games now mm-hmm. because it's starting to become a precedent, you're almost better off waiting just to make sure that the game works for mm-hmm. that day one versus running out and buying it and finding out that there's some, you know, game crippling bug in there that mm-hmm. you got to wait to get patched.
And we I know we always been talking about that for years. Don't how I say this for you, vote for your vote with your wallet if you want to buy the game or not. You know, don't just go to the store or hype and just buy it. You know, because then you're gonna be disappointed. Like Carl Paris, he bought Batman, but it was even playable for the PC. It was very, very buggy. You know, so in that situation, you could have got your money back. Did you get your money back or no?
No, because I didn't buy it through Steam. I bought it through CDKeys.com, yeah. So I couldn't get a refund for
yeah.
it. But at the same time, I mean, I got it for basically half the retail price. You know, whatever. That was just a gamble I took.
Okay. So. All right. You want to read this one or no?
Sure.
All right.
All right. This email is from Travis. We met him at E3 this year. So what's up, Travis? How you doing? He says, hey, guys, just listen to this week's show. Great topic and great guest to talk about this with. He's talking about the roundtable we had with Kotaku about the Kotaku issue.
521.
Yeah, 521. Mm-hmm. Go download it if you haven't. The entire roundtable was well-informed and brought their thinking caps to this issue. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's more interesting to get into the politics of the industry than the games. Cough, Destiny, Story, Bold, shout out, Pete in Paris.
Yes.
I heard two critical problems for the arguments being made on the program. First, you guys debated the merit of the news. To be honest, I think you guys might have overanalyzed what is at its core a very basic issue. Mm-hmm. What Kotaku published was news. Ubisoft and Bethesda do get to decide how to present their game and how to market it. They don't get to dictate to any outlet what's news. Kotaku was questionable on a lot of levels,
okay.
But they are journalists doing a job. Ubisoft and Bethesda are perfectly within their right to decide not to send them review copies or have contact with them. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that going dark on an outlet that posted information your company leaked is the morally responsible thing to do. The second thing is that Kotaku's behavior has been reckless for years. These publishers only stop dealing with them when their disregard for the basic practices hurt their marketing interests. Mm-hmm. I don't mind that companies take the extra effort to control their message. I do mind that both companies basically stopped supplying these guys with ammunition after they were shot in the foot instead of the guy on the other side of the trench. Great show, and hope to see you guys at E3.
Shout out to Travis. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. And again, we talk about this on episode 521.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Both sides were completely in their right to do what they did. I don't think that is the issue here at all. And again, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for anyone else on this podcast or listening or been on here previously. Mm-hmm. But for my opinion, Kotaku, and they were just on MSNBC too. You guys have no idea how much this annoys me, but
yeah. You
knew what you did. You knew what, and again, Stephen Totilo even said this in the MSNBC video. They knew what they did. They understood the repercussions of it. I don't think we needed an entire article explaining this to the readers why your reviews for Ubisoft and Bethesda games don't come out day one. I think a simple bullet saying we no longer receive review copies from these publishers is enough. Again, I just feel like you took information that you knew would have repercussions. You didn't like the repercussions. Mm-hmm. So now you're trying to sway the court of public opinion in your favor. That's just the way I personally see it. I do not agree with Kotaku. I don't like the practices that they've had, that they've done over the years, especially going back to the one with Brian Crescente, what he did with Sony. And it's not how I would do business is basically what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So, and just not a fan of.
And at the same time, is it working in 2015? No, me personally, I think the situation with Brian Crescente back then, it worked. Now, 2015, with everything that's going on with live streamers and YouTubers and now more blogs and more than ever, I just don't see it like the buzz. I see more of people like complaining, like why would they even post this type of thing? You know, it looks childish in my opinion. So I mean, hey.
Well, look, I'll even say this: we had dinner with a nameless employee of a big publisher, and we discussed this. And
it's not the people that invited us.
No, it is not.
Let's make that correction.
Let's make that clear. It is not. Because we are here for an event by Ubisoft.
It is not
an employee of Ubisoft. It is for someone else.
Yes.
But the point stands, we had this discussion tonight, and it was interesting getting that point of view from the other side, in that you have to understand, was Kotaku right in posting it? 100%. They absolutely should post it. No one's denying that. But there's also repercussions in that you are affecting people's jobs. I talked about this in 521. You're affecting people's jobs and livelihoods by doing this. So if that gets to the point that, hey, we decide we can't work with you anymore because we feel like we cannot trust the leaks that are coming out of our country, out of our company, then we're cutting you off.
Yeah.
And they're completely within their right. And that's, I think that's just where it needs to stop right there. I think the fact that we're even talking about this and it's a discussion is absolutely ludicrous, because all of us get scoops. It happens all the time on various levels. You decide what you want to run with, and you have to decide if it's worth running, period.
And we get scoops all the time. Is it worth it? Like, what? We get a buzz for like a week or two?
No, but here's the thing.
Like, is it worth it? You know?
But here's the thing. Because no one should be afraid of losing access, right? It should just be, again, like they said, we're journalists. I'm not saying I'm a journalist, but Kotaku, they're journalists. So they're doing their job. I totally get that. Your job description, nowhere in the rule book does it says that a publisher has to give you interviews or give you early access to anything.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Like Stephen Totilo said in that video, they can still do their job without getting support from the publisher. So in my opinion, just go do your job, period.
Mm. By the way, we're going to read the last question. And Paris, this is for you.
Okay.
Directly for you. You want to read it or you want me to read it?
No, read it to me since it's for me.
All right. This is from Matt. Where he's from. Doesn't say where he's from, but he posted this. He was like, hey, Paris stated in episode 520, around the 41-minute mark, that Uncharted 4 importance is equal to the importance of Halo 5 for Microsoft, and it states it needs to set the standard on the console. How can you spotlight the importance of Uncharted 4 in the relationship of to Halo 5 being the flagship for Xbox when 80% of Sony users haven't played an Uncharted game? Please clarify for a PlayStation fanboy who hasn't played an Uncharted game yet. Keep up the great work, fellas.
Well, ironically enough, I remember this, and I was going back and forth with him via email, and since I see my initial response, I'm going to read it word for word. I said back to him after that, just like Halo is the flagship franchise for Xbox, Uncharted is the flagship franchise for PlayStation, and as such, should be held to a higher standard. And I went on to elaborate on that, because he was very fixated on the statistics of how many PlayStation owners have actually played Uncharted versus having played Halo on Xbox or whatever. The point is this: PlayStation 4, we just saw the numbers to come out. As we know right now, it just has sold over 30 million. Among those 30 million PlayStation 4 owners, a vast majority of them are brand new PlayStation owners, which means they've never played Uncharted. So if I'm Sony, if I'm Naughty Dog, I want the first impression of Uncharted to be a good one, so that when Uncharted 5, Uncharted 6, et cetera, decides to come out, gamers are going to be excited about it and they're going to want to pick it up. Mm-hmm. If they don't have if they don't hold Uncharted 4 to a higher standard, being a flagship game, and it comes in subpar, you potentially could turn off a huge portion of this new fan base to this series. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do that? I'm going to flip it. You know my feelings about Halo, right? As I've been talking about Halo 5.
Yeah.
I feel like what 343 has done to Halo 5 is turning a huge number of the fan base against wanting to see what happens next with Halo 6 and whatever, you know, on down the road, because I feel like Halo 5, the story portion of it anyways, came in very subpar. This is their flagship title. It has to be held to a higher standard, and it needs to be something that it comes in highly reviewed. It's something everyone's talking about. We're on social media. Everyone's super excited about a Halo game. The same thing needs to apply to an Uncharted game, in my personal opinion.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, part three of our holiday gift guide. Man, we're on the roll this week, huh?
Oh, yeah. So first up is the Vizio M-Series 50-inch Ultra HD LED Smart Television.
Ultra, baby.
Now, when we talk about Ultra HD, we're talking about 4K.
4K.
When we talk about 4K, we're talking about Netflix.
Yeah.
We're talking Jessica Jones. We're talking
how it looks. How Jessica Jones looks on a 4K.
Looks fantastic. Looks fantastic. But the thing about the Vizio TVs, because I have one, is on HDMI 5, there's a game mode. It is low latency. You can set it to game mode and turn that on. Mm-hmm. So you get super low latency. So for gaming, Xbox One, PlayStation 4,
perfect.
You plug it in HDMI 5.
Do you have your Steam link also connected or no?
I do, but I don't have it in HDMI 5 because I got the Xbox One plugged in. But,
okay.
But the point is, it is a great monitor for gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned, you know, Netflix, and then you got the Amazon app and stuff. It is also a great monitor for viewing 4K content. So mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend this for the holidays.
By the way, Xenoblade Chronicle X, or some people call it Cross, for the Wii U, is one of the biggest games they ever created. Bigger, the world is bigger than Fallout 3, Skyrim, and even The Witcher. For Wii U game, that's very impressive. And I'm a huge fan of single play. Like I played from the original Wii. I played also on this, on the 3DS. But for this, it's kind of like an MMO, JRPG type game. And you could play with others online and do quests and stuff. And if you're just going to just do the story, it might take you like maybe 25 to 30 hours, just a story. But adding all the quests that's on the side, you will take a very, very long time to finish this game. Highly recommend it. I think it's a must-have if you have a Wii U. So, and also another game, which is very popular in your house, Mario Maker, right?
Oh, absolutely. My son creates levels all the time. Their difficulty range varies, but mm-hmm. he has a blast doing it. I have a blast sitting there watching him. We play the levels together. We download other people's levels and check them out. And let me tell you, this... Not only is it a highly recommended game for the Wii U, it is just one of the best games you can play in 2015, period. Again, mm-hmm. if you're a fan of the Mario series, if you're new to Mario, this is a great entry point because literally you're going to get to play some of the most creative mm-hmm. and difficult Mario levels ever made.
Not only that, you could even become famous by creating a level and it might go viral.
Exactly. Which,
you know?
Which is a lot of the stuff that I play now is the mm-hmm. recommended levels. We download them and they're fantastic. So again, if you're looking for a game on the Wii U, check out Mario Maker.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. And make sure to subscribe and listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Anything else, Paris, would like to say before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Until next time. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.